So then my favorite scene in the entire movie happens.
And
this scene was so spooky in like a 2009 way. And I enjoyed it immensely.
It was spooky, it was gay, and it was funny.
Oh, it was so gay. It was erotic. Like, this whole scene was like...
chef kiss.
Oh, so good. So, Needy hears a knock at the door.
And
she's still on the phone with Chip. And she goes, Chip, there's someone at the door. And he's like, do you want me to stay on the phone with you? And she's like, no. So, I don't understand why she says no, but I guess to build the tension. So
I'll call you back if someone's cutting my head off and making me watch TV.
Yeah.
Like in the cell.
Yeah. So she goes to answer the door and there's no one there. So she's like, okay, it's weird. Locks the door, starts to go back up the stairs and hears a noise in the kitchen. Or somewhere in the house, downstairs. So she starts wandering around, looks in a closet. There's nothing. Goes into the kitchen. And I guess, is the sink on or something? Like, for some reason, she goes over to the sink, does something, turns around, and then Jennifer is standing there, I think.
Jennifer's in the refrigerator. Like...
Yeah, she finds her, like, eating stuff out of the refrigerator or something.
Yeah, she, like, opens the door and there's
nobody
there.
Covered in blood.
Closes the door, goes upstairs, hears a noise, comes back downstairs, and it's, like, Jennifer, like, with the refrigerator open, like, crouching like an animal, like, eating something out of the refrigerator.
Yeah, and Needy's like, oh, Mom said we're not supposed to be eating that rotisserie chicken or whatever.
That's my favorite.
It's for dinner.
She's like, my mom got that from Boston Market.
Yeah, like it implied it was a very special,
it's a special chicken.
Rotisserie chicken. Like it was bought special for a special dinner.
From Boston Market.
Yeah, which is
defunct
the
now,
highest
right?
I think there's still a couple around, but it apparently was the highest echelon in their household.
She was like, Boston I'm not
Market.
Supposed to eat that. My mom got that chicken from Boston Market. And Jennifer looks at her and goes, yeah. Literally.
Yeah.
So
she makes that noise and Needy kind of like, she kind of jumps a little, but she just kind of was like, are you okay? Like she's very concerned about her friend. She's like, you have blood on you. Like you're... are you okay? And like, I kind of like related to this scene. Like someone could be like, this person that you know is like acting like weird or whatever, but you're like, I know this person and this person would never hurt me. Or like, this person is so important to me that even if they're screeching at me, I'm not going to be like, ugh.
Yeah. Like she's scared, obviously, like, but she's like,
yeah. She's very concerned for her friend.
Your well-being is more of import to me.
Yeah. Like, she's like, how did you, where did you go? Why is there blood on you? Like, has all these questions that Jennifer doesn't answer. Jennifer just kind of looks at her with, like, deadened eyes. And then starts puking all over the linoleum. Like, later she describes, like, the puke as not so much puke, but, like, black bile and like nails and like
like you see it though, like she like
you see it, but it's kind of hard to like see what is in it so much as like it doesn't look how she describes it later.
Yeah, so she projectile vomits everywhere
extensively for several seconds.
Like it looks like somebody hooked up a fire hose to a barrel of tar essentially.
Then
she just kind of stands there for a second and like her clothes are all covered in blood and Needy looks down at like the vitriol or the fucking viscera or whatever. And it's like, they put the CGI effect in where it looks like a bunch of like spikes, like almost like raise up from it, like in like a ripple.
Yeah.
And it didn't even look cool. And even if it did look cool, I was like, I don't need it. That's enough. Like, you know what I mean? Like it doesn't need to look supernatural more than it already does.
Yeah, I think it was also a little bit, the lighting was problematic in that it was just the only light was coming from the open fridge.
I just feel like that was like $10,000 they could have
not. That, yeah, they didn't.
I was like, it doesn't need to like ripple with like spiky blood SCP foundation yeah. type shit. It could have just been like, my friend made a weird giraffe noise and projectile vomited on me for 5 whole minutes.
Yeah. Like that by itself is enough. So then I feel like.
Doesn't she start laughing?
She starts laughing and Needy is like, bro, like, are you okay? Please tell me you're okay. And then I feel like Jennifer starts to leave or Needy starts to walk away.
Needy says she's going to call the police.
Yeah, and starts to walk away.
For her phone, because she had left her phone.
Yeah. And Jennifer grabs her, shoves her against the wall, and is like up on her. Puts her mouth next to her ear and goes, are you scared? And Needy is like, yeah.
And everybody watching is like, my nipples are hard. Like,
yeah.
Because she's like
exactly
moving like Megan Fox is like
yeah.
her mouth like in close up like on Amanda
yeah.
Reed's neck. And like you can yeah. hear them breathing and you're just like, oh no, Pornhub.
Yeah. It's very, very erotic and also a little spooky at the same time. So you're kind of like, what movie is this about to be? And it's not the movie that you're hoping for, but it's also still a good movie. So then Jennifer leaves.
She just, wah, I'm like, abscond.
She's like, peace. And she just like runs out in the street and is gone.
Needy collapses like crying onto the floor.
Yeah. And a little while later, you see a flashback of what her night looks like after that. And essentially, she's on her hands and knees on the kitchen floor with a sponge trying to clean up the vomit, sobbing.
Yeah. And it's like, what is it? The narrator. She's Needy's the one who's narrating this movie, obviously. But or not, obviously. Yeah. I don't know how well we've
done that. Explain
but
that.
She's the one who's narrating. She's like, I couldn't believe that it was real, but I know it was real because I was up all night scrubbing the viscera off of the floor. And it is
yeah.
like her with like a scrub brush from like the 1920s crying with like a bucket. And it just looks like anybody who's ever cleaned anything up off of anything is like, you can't just like,
you can't, you're just spreading it out
yeah,
around.
You're just like, there's no like receptacle of any kind for
you need some towels.
You can't just go, I'm going to scrub this liquid with a brush. And then dip the brush in a different liquid and then scrub it more. I don't know. That scene to me, I'm always like, well, of course it took you all night because you didn't wipe it up with
the right.
Clorox wipe, idiot. And that's like,
so
I just, it always makes me think of that text message that you sent me one time where I was like, what did I say? I was like, nine puked on my floor. And you were like, yeah, I heard one of my dogs trying to puke earlier and I figured out where it was and I just hit that shit with a Clorox wipe, moved on with my day. And that like changed my life. That text has changed my life. I don't know if you remember it. It was like 2 years ago, maybe. And I was like, scrubbing up cat puke sucks. And you were like, yeah, that's why whenever I hear one of my dogs dry heaving, I go find him. And I just hit that shit with a Clorox wipe. Or no, it was Colin. You were like, Colin peed somewhere earlier today.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah,
that sounds
like,
right.
So my best friend's name is Colin, but Stephanie has an Italian greyhound named Colin, too. But yeah, so Stephanie one time was like, yeah. Like, Colin peed in the house earlier, and I just hit that shit with a Clorox wipe and moved on with my day. And I was like, oh! I forgot about it.
You can do that?
I'm an idiot. So now whenever Nine's puking, I just, like, go find him, and I, like, hold my hands, like, under his mouth. He hasn't been puking as much. Okay, listen, podcast, I'm not a bad cat owner. He is 10 years old. He is an insistent eater. He will eat on your food. No matter what, like you literally have to punch him in the face to get him away from you. I don't punch him in the face. So inevitably he gets like a bite of like Chipotle chicken or whatever. Cause I'm like, no, stop. But like you don't want to punch your own cat in the face. And then, you know, he gets sick to his stomach. And I'm like, dude, I don't know what to do for you. But then I, you know, recently switched him to sensitive old cat man tummy food. And he's eating a lot less. But I just don't want my podcast to ever think that I'm just like, my cat throws up all the time and I don't care. I care a lot. Like, I care about his well-being. But I will never punch him in the face to keep him from eating my sandwich. I'll smack him. Right on his butt cheek.
Like, get out of here.
Actually, the thing that I'm doing now, like, if I put down my food and he goes to sniff on it, I, like, grab him, like, by his haunches, and I, like this, and I go, twerk, 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 and he hates it so much he runs away and doesn't come back for at least 10 minutes, so I can finish my meal.
What's funny is I can picture the face he makes when you do that, like, perfectly.
He's like, I don't like it. I'm like, twerk, 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 twerk.
He's like, stop twerking me.
But TikTok, which I don't have. Twerk, 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 twerk. That's like how food aggro this old fat cat is. So never think that I don't care. I'm just saying. Stephanie taught me about Clorox wipes. And Anita should have known. Because she lives with a ferret.
Yeah. As someone who has in the past lived with a ferret, you have to know about Clorox wipes. Like, that is key. Because their poops are the most noxious shit I have ever smelled. You got to hit it with a Clorox wipe immediately.
My,
because they're not going to always poop in their litter box because they're disgusting.
Because you were keeping, I'm sorry. Because you were keeping a blog about Miley Cyrus at the same time, but your ferret's name was Miley. And you know what?
It wasn't a blog specifically about Miley Cyrus. She just got mentioned frequently, okay?
I feel like there were times where I was like, confused as to which Miley. I was like, your ferret twerked on Robin Thicke?
Like, your ferret shit on your carpet, or was that Miley Cyrus? Which one did it? I don't know.
I love you so much. I feel like there was a period of time in our lives where, like, you would just text me, "That's just Miley," like, as an expression, and I didn't understand it at the time. Like, because you were...
I'm just being Miley.
No, really, yeah. And it was just, like, you were just very much more, like, meme or, like, internet literate than I was. But you would essentially, yeah.
I would just assume everyone knew what I was talking about.
Or, like, no, there was one time specifically where I was, like, oh, my boyfriend's pissing me off. And, like, I did this. Like, am I a crazy person? And you were just like, that's just Miley. Like, upside down smiley face or whatever. And I was like, your ferret? What's your ferret do?
Same shit.
But looking back on it, it was just, like, you being way more internet literate than me. Because I didn't understand. Like, it's like when you send, like, a meme to an elderly person.
They're like, what is this?
What is what that mouth do though mean?
Well, mom, this is what it means. The amount of memes I've had to explain to my mother is a lot of memes.
You send your mother memes?
She shows me memes that she doesn't understand. She's like, what does this mean?
Deborah.
And I'm like, Deborah?
Deborah, listen. You're killing me right now.
So, Megan Fox fucks off.
Oh, she leaves. Amanda Seyfried, mad, upset. And then the next day at school.
Yeah, it's just suddenly school. They're just suddenly there.
They're in science lab, I guess, and what's his face? Who I love a lot. He was on Oz. He was in the Spider-Man movies.
Yeah. He played the...
Initial something?
Yeah.
J.K. Rowling. No.
No. But
J.R.R. Tolkien.
No. Also close.
Damn it.
J. L. Ron Hubbard? Was it L. Ron? No. It's wrong too. No. That's wrong too.
I just typed in J-E-N into my Google, and it said Jason Derulo's pregnant girlfriend, Jenna Frooms, expecting a baby boy.
Yep.
I have to throw this phone away because it knows too much about us.
Jason Derulo. For a second, I forgot what.
Jason Derulo. It's J.K. Simmons. J.K. Simmons.
Oh.
Everybody's looking for love. Oh. Anyway, he shows up and he's like, just, you know, but it's like a whole, like, speech. And it's like.
Yeah, like, he's like, this is a hard time for us here at.
We lost
something, something high.
Several beloved students and our Spanish teacher, Senorita Wilson, also did not make it out of the fire. And then Jennifer goes, oh my God, Wilson ate shit? Like all excited. And Anita's like looking at her horrified.
Yeah. And we didn't mention, but Jennifer just shows up acting totally
normal. Like nothing happened. Nothing at all.
Yeah. Really off-putting, like, her attitude, because it doesn't fit in with the rest of her character. Like, I understand why it happens, but I'm also like,
So everything is like
a weird choice.
Everybody else is like super serious, but like Canada serious. Yeah. So it's like watching Scott Pilgrim versus the World, where you're like, this is a joke. And then, you know, J.K. Simmons' speech concludes, and he's like, and he acts the shit out of it. I fucking love this man. Yeah. Everything he's ever done is incredible. Have you watched?
I'm so happy he gets to be in Spider-Man again. Oh, it's gonna be so good.
They're making more Spider-Man.
Well, the ones with Tom Holland, they're doing like a new like thing where like J.K. Simmons is back, and it's like multiverse shit. Like it's gonna be wild.
Can't wait until you explain it all to me, because I'm never going to watch it. But
oh, I'm gonna. One of my I will favorite explain things the shit in life
is like you describing like Marvel or like superhero, like things that like I'm not anti that. It just is not a focus holder for me. But sometimes when you talk to me about it, I'm just like, oh my God, I love seeing things through your eyes. Like it just makes me so happy. So anyway, this whole like thing, like where J.K. Simmons is like, oh my God, the feeling, and it's great. Yeah. You have to watch it because it's like very ironic. Like he's like overacting a little bit. Like it's yeah. Just, like,
and one girl gets real aggro at Jennifer for being like, whatever. Because it's about the band, right? Or is that later? I might be thinking about Needy like being like that band kind of sucks.
It's later,
like,
yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Or it's like Low Shoulder was able to do this.
Yeah.
It does people out of the fire sort of happen now, and Needy is like, that's not what happened.
Yeah.
And like the girl that called them lesbian gay is like, they're national heroes, Needy. It's on their Wikipedia. Or whatever.
Yeah.
But that could have happened now or later, because at this point, this movie starts becoming very repetitive because they have the same conversation like in an hour. This movie's five hours long. Whatever. So after this all happens, and again, like J.K. Simmons is amazing because he doesn't overact it like double. He does like one and a half. So it's like really funny. It's really good where he's like, but it's like not to the point where you're like, this is kind of goofy.
Yeah, it's funny, but also grounded in a way. Like, you could be like, yeah, I could see a teacher doing that. Yeah,
it's just sort of like kind of a send up of all of like, you know, the over emotional, like art teacher tropes. But he's like the principal or whatever. And then afterwards, like, Jennifer is like looking fierce and gorgeous and tan and her mouth and.
Like, she looks.
Like Megan Fox.
In this scene. Like. In this scene, she looks extra perfect, and it gets explained why later, but this is where, like, she's at, like, full power.
And so Anita and Jennifer are sitting there, and Anita's like, what the fuck? Or whatever.
Yeah, what happened last night?
And Jennifer is just like, I don't know what happened last night. And, like, was she saying it, like, sarcastically? Because I feel like Anita said something like, what the fuck is your problem?
Yeah.
And Jennifer's like, what the fuck is your problem? And then Needy like holds her hands up and like shows Jennifer like her fingernails that are like covered in blood, like with blood caked underneath them. And Megan Fox says this very problematic line, but it's.
Oh, so bad.
It's also a line in cinema I think about every day because I'm like, nobody would ever say that in real life. but it's like an Anchorman.
Yeah.
Like sort of a, she's like, oh, yeah. She's like, your shit's looking rough. You need to get a Chinese chick to buff your situation. And yeah. I think you need to get a Chinese chick to buff your situation at least twice a week. Like, I don't know why. So yeah, she's just like, everything's fine, Edie. Like, you're being overdramatic. And they're like walking down the hall. And the next thing that really of note that happens is she sort of seduces like this football player who was best friends with the guy, one of the guys who died at Melody Lane, right?
Yeah. Like, she finds him on the football field and she's like, are you sad about, I think Chris Pratt, like, are you sad about Chris Pratt?
He's like, yeah, he's my best friend.
She's like, I can make you feel better or something. Like, it gets...
It's actually what she weird. Says. She's like, it's so weird because, like, right before the fire started, he was telling me that you and I would make a really banging couple. And he's like,
really? He said that?
And she's like, yeah. And then she, like, takes his hand. She's like, you come with me now. I think you would have wanted it. And you're like, okay, yeah, let's go.
You're like, okay. So they go into the forest, which apparently, like, behind their school, there's, like, a forest.
Like a national, like, preserve, like, forest. Like, it's, like, huge forest full of wildlife.
Yeah. And we see a bunch of the wildlife here. So they go into, like, a clearing, and she starts taking his pants off, I think. Mm-hmm. And then he notices that a lot of woodland creatures are around and, like, watching.
But, like, to the extent that it is goofy.
Yeah, like, there's fucking deer, like, sitting there. There's, like, a raccoon.
There's a beaver.
Yeah, oh, for sure. There's definitely a beaver.
Beaver sitting on a stump.
Yeah.
And they're all shrilling, you know what I mean? They're all making noise.
Yeah. And he's like, this is weird.
She's like,
and let's not disappoint them or something like that. Like something creepy.
Like, they're waiting. Like,
yeah.
And then she like unzips her shirt. And I'm not positive about this, but I was watching the unedited version. And I looked up from what I was doing for a second. And I was like, I don't remember there being like a flashing nipple. But now I don't remember if I actually remembered a flash of nipple. But, like, at the time, I texted somebody about it, so I'm pretty sure I saw it. There was, like, a little bit of boob. Like, a little bit more
boob. In the version I saw, I did not see nipple.
But I was watching the unedited, like, the director's cut.
Yeah.
So, maybe I just made it up in my head when I was masturbating and spliced it into a memory myself. But I do remember, like, looking up and being like, oop, I don't remember seeing that. Like, I don't remember seeing that in the original version and then going back to what I was doing and then being like, oh, shit, I'm watching the director's cut. But it was, like, three scenes later, so I'm not rewinding it just to see a tit. That's bullshit.
Yeah.
But there was, like, a little bit more, like, it wasn't like the whole nipple. It was just, like, a bottom.
Yeah.
And then it was just, like, a little bit more boob. But she, like, is wearing, like, a zip-up mini short sleeve sweater from Old Navy that was made for a child, but she's like wearing it as a shirt. She like unzips it. She's like, oh, they're waiting. And he's like, what? And then she like walks up to him and just like her entire jaw like unhinges,
like opens up, like, and her teeth look real sharp and she just goes ah, like at the camera. And then the scene ends.
Well, you hear all the forest animals going crazy.
Yeah, they're like,
It cuts. Fuck yeah. It cuts to J.K. Simmons with like his little briefcase walking out to his like fucking shitty car in the parking lot, and he hears this kid screaming,
yeah,
like bellowing his guts out, for lack of a better term.
Yeah,
and he just goes. J.K. Simmons is like, "That's right, let it out, kids, let it out."
Yeah,
and you're like, "Okay, Canada." I guess. So the next time you see her, it's like this fucking like low, like, you know, tuned down like metal music, like dun, 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 and like she's like swimming out of the lake naked.
Yeah.
And she puts her clothes back on and you can tell like she just ate this guy basically.
Yeah.
And you're just kind of like, okay, good for her. Like,
yeah, good job.
She was hungry, so she ate some food.
And we do catch a glimpse of him later in the forest, like, deceased, and a deer is eating his entrails.
But they look like they're made out of deer treats. Like, it's not like...
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's not like poorly done, but it's not like Japanese, not well, extreme cinema. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't look realistic. It looks more a little bit like, this movie is an ironic sort of a joke. But in the best way. Like, the next, like, few things that happen is just like, oh, it's me being emo about being in high school. Like, the narrative. And it's like, Low Shoulder is, like, now famous because people think that...
Yeah, it's almost like a montage.
Yeah, it's a montage. Yeah. And, and then at some point, you know, like, all this stuff happens. And you're like, I don't care about this, like, the thing that's happening. It's just like, we were happy to be in our own little world. Just, like, fucking emo musings and, like, your MySpace blog kind of shit. But, you know, they do, like, a vigil for the guy that got disemboweled by Jennifer. They didn't know it was Jennifer. And, you know, they're just, like, fucking upset about, like, and the other thing that happened was somebody was like, did you see Ahmed? Like, we couldn't find our exchange student after the fire. Yeah. He was there. And nobody can find him, so they assume he's dead. Which, by the way, you really had to name him Ahmed? Like,
yeah, like, come on.
Whatever.
Is that the only name you could think of?
Whatever. And it's like, this is like the turning point. There's like this whole montage, right? And it's just like, Jennifer was just being fucking whatever, and she's hot. And, J.K. Simmons appears at the front of the science class again, and he's like, and Jennifer looks like shit today, by the way.
She looks bad.
But he's like, out of the generosity of their hearts, Low Shoulder has, said they would donate like 3% of, like,
It was like a laughably, like, low
of the sales percentage from their single Through the Trees, which has become our unofficial anthem. And Needy was like, what the fuck?
Yeah, like, that's
crass, right? Like, why wouldn't they donate like 50% or the entire thing? And that's when they, like, the little Asian girl who called them lesbian.
Yeah.
This is the same girl from Juno, by the way, who was like, your baby has fingernails. Like, the anti-abortion girl, which maybe she's lovely in real life, but all the characters I've seen her play seem like totally Republican assholes.
Yeah.
Just ignorant fucking assholes.
She's like, Needy, you don't even know. They're heroes. And she's like, I was there.
They didn't do shit. And the girl's like, they pulled people out of the fire. It's on their Wikipedia. Like, all mansplainy.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh God, whatever. Like, you just hate her. I think that, I don't even think that this character was written to be hated. I think that Diablo Cody thought it would be funny. But it's not funny. It's like,
no.
You can't talk to people like that, and people like that deserve to be punched in the mouth. And I think
it's partially not funny because now in these times,
that's what I was about to say,
those kind of conservative voices are the most dangerous voices there are. And so hearing it being played off as a joke, you're still like, well, she's repugnant and awful, and it's not funny.
Yeah. And I think that to further assign that to an Asian person.
Yeah.
Like a generally, like, marginalized, straight up murdered kind of person. It's like that shit that happened today where that person, like, that Twitter profile that was clearly, like, made by, like, you know, an artificial intelligence, like, profile picture thing and, like, posted, like, I hate unions.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's the same thing. I think that,
you
know, I'm not ever going to say anything about this person who played this role because I know what it's like to go hungry. I know what it's like to not have money and, like, to have to do what you have to do. And I just think that it's insensitive for people in the position of power to be like, this is a role that should be played by an Asian female presenting person.
Yeah.
So that the real kinds of people who say shit like this feel like, oh, well, it's all of us, right? Like, they get to be represented like multiculturally and multigenderally in cinema. And I just hate it. I I guess maybe it's like what they did with Aubrey Plaza, where they're like, it's funny when Aubrey Plaza shows up and says like a one-liner. But it's not.
Yeah.
Just that should be said by a cishet white man. Call a thing a thing. Do a thing by a thing. Don't use like people who need a paycheck to
say this horrific
thing and like disseminate like the blame through.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? Yes, you do. I know you do. Podcast. It's like, you know what I'm saying?
It's like putting it through a filter that it doesn't need to be through, and it's making it disingenuous.
Well, this Asian actress was okay with saying it, so that means it's okay.
Yeah.
Or, you know, even like the surface level, teenagers seeing an Asian female presenting person saying this is like, oh, well, they say it. Yeah. You can say it. You can think those thoughts. No good. I'm not saying that like one-liners like that can't be funny, but if you're going to put them in movies, Will Ferrell the fuck out of it. Cishet white men all day long. I hate Will Ferrell movies because they're incredibly anti-feminist, but at the very least they did the thing at the end of the day.
Yeah.
It's going to be me and John C. Reilly making misogynist jokes. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, they're like, we know that's what this is, and it should be represented as, so here you go.
If you're not a feminist, you're a misogynist, and if you're a misogynist and you want to write a misogynist movie, cishet white men are the people that should play all the main characters. And I feel like Will Ferrell was like, yep, and then he did that.
Yeah.
But not in this movie, because they're like, we're Canada. We don't understand anything. So as a person who is inherited some level of Canadianness, I'm allowed to say that. Dude, my Nana was literally like, I used to she was telling her how she used to they ice skated in Canada, like for fun. Like she was just like, there was a pond by my house and we would go and fucking figure skate on it. And I'm like, with no like supervision? She's like, no. Like ice skating lifeguards back in the day, and I'm like, wow. I inherited some Canada, and I have a lot of respect for Canada, and I would move there if I could.
I think a lot of us would move there if we could, because
but I can't even go to Canada for like 2 more years because you're banned from Canada for 10 years if you get a DUI.
Oh,
like banned, like straight up, they're like, you can't even stop here, like on a layover, you can't be here at all.
Damn.
Which, good for you, Canada, I guess. But
they drew their line in the sand.
I feel like the line in the sand was most of the people in America are not okay with capitalism. So they just like drink. And one of the big things about, you know, capitalist, you know, suppressed people, we all get DUIs and we pay for them. And they're like, nah, you need 10 years to figure out that capitalism sucks dick and then beg to get into our awesome country and we'll let you in, eh? Like, do you know what I mean? I don't think that it's mean. I think that it's like, I don't know statistics, but I feel like people in America get way more DUIs than anybody else. I feel like America invented DUIs. Like,
I'm sure you could do a study on it and be like, where are they most? And I think it would probably be the Southern United States.
It's the Southern United States and Michelle Rodriguez.
I didn't know she was prone to DUIs. She's only free. Damn.
But I love her.
But then what happens in the film, Carly?
Megan Fox says this amazing line. So they're getting out from class and Anita's like, are you okay?
Yeah, because she looks like horrible. Like, she's dressed in like frumpy clothes. Her hair looks greasy. I don't think she's wearing makeup. She just looks not her usual self. She looks like a normal human being, but like compared to the Megan Fox and the rest of the movie, she looks horrible.
I was gonna say, just from like a movie lighting perspective, it just looks like she wasn't wearing makeup. And they put some oil in her hair and put sweatpants on her. And he's like, are you okay? And she's like, no. I feel like boo-boo.
Like what? What?
Which, like, it's not boo-boo. A thing anybody has ever said, but I do say that one now. Like,
I feel like
boo-boo. my hair is dull, my skin is lifeless, I'm breaking out. She's like, I just feel like one of those normal girls. I guess it's wearing off. And he was like, what? And she's like, never mind. And then this kid, he was in that, what's it called? The Haunting of the Haunted Thing.
That's like 12 different movies.
We used to call him Robert Pattinson. You and I specifically. Because he looks like a discount Robert Pattinson.
Yeah.
But he's a gorgeous boy. Like, he's a gorgeous boy. Yes. We weren't calling him fat. It was just like a one-off letter. Our shade was not that strong back in the day. He was in that movie with Laura Linney, right?
Kyle Gallner?
He was in that Haunting movie, right?
I'm going to see what movie he was in.
It was Laura Linney, right? She played his mom? Nope, it was not Laura Linney. It was Michael Madsen's sister. An American Wereman and Hubris. It was Virginia Madsen played his mom, and it was based on real shit that happened.
The Haunting in Connecticut.
Yes! That movie.
It came out the same year as Jennifer's Body did.
That movie was.
That was the year of this guy.
That movie was actually very good.
It was good.
It was like PG-13, and it was actually very creepy and scary. He was also in the Nightmare on Elm Street reboot that flopped.
Yeah, that was it was bad.
We're gonna make it so real and crucial and gritty. And you watch it and you're like,
no, that's not what those movies are supposed to be.
It's taking itself really seriously, I guess, but it's also dumb. Like, it just sucked. Yeah. And then that guy got to be on Shutter Island and you were like, that's fine. Anyway, so this kid comes up and he's like a typical, like, you know, he looks like he listens to The Cure.
He's like an emo boy.
Yeah, and he's like, Jennifer. And she was just like, are you going to ask me out? Because no. And he's like, well, I think that boy's really cool. And the boy's name is Colin. And Jennifer's like, Colin, come back here. And he's like, whoa. Like a little puppy dog.
Yeah.
Wearing his, like, Doc Martens and his fucking, like, little spiked collar. Like a little perfect sub. And little soft boy. And she's like, why don't you come to my house later? I rented this movie called Aquamarine. I guess it's about this girl who's half sushi. I think she must fuck through a blowhole. Anyway, I'll text you my address. And he's like, dope, cool, awesome.
Yeah.
Robert Smith. And then he just like leaves. Yeah. And you can tell that she basically agreed to the date solely based upon the fact that Needy said that she thought that Colin was cool. The fact that,
like,
she
was like, well, if Needy likes him, then I should give him a chance. It's
kind
maybe.
Of like, it's a movie about a mermaid. She's like, I guess it's about this girl who's half sushi. And I was like, oh my God. I hate this movie, but I love this movie. So anyway, I don't think anything else of import happens, but tonight's the night.
It's the night for lots of reasons.
Anita and Chip.
Potato Chip.
Anita and Potato are going to have a mashed potato. They're going to do the twist, man.
Yeah.
And Jennifer's Body also is going to be involved in some way, shape, or form. So.
It's also going to do the twist in a different location, but also somehow also the same location. So there's two scenes happening simultaneously.
And they're intercut very poorly. Yeah. Like, it's just kind of,
it's very abrupt.
Super cringe. Like, we didn't need it to be like this. Like,
yeah.
I hate this part of this movie because I'm up until then. Okay. Like, at least this is very, no, I want to talk about it, but like up until then, it's like very splashy. It's fun. At the very least, it's like a rom-com, like something like that. But at this point, they're like forcing you to watch shit. It's like, when a movie mansplains to you what's happening, I didn't need 20 minutes of this. You could have done it for me in 3 minutes.
They really could.
Just come already.
yeah, potato chip. So there's two scenes that are happening. In one, Colin is driving to Jennifer's house.
Like an undisclosed address.
She sends him the address.
But he's listening to a fucking punk cover of I Can See Clearly Now, The Rain Is Gone. And he's like singing along to it. And
then yeah. I was like, oh my God. He is bopping.
I remember being 17 and how I felt the first time I was going to sleep with like person that I wanted to sleep with.
And this dude sees zero red flags when there are hundreds of them lining the street for him because he drives into this abandoned neighborhood.
I think it's where like a newly built neighborhood, actually. Because they're all like really, yeah, yeah. really new.
Yeah, and not of the, all of them are finished.
And they don't have like electricity, so he goes upstairs and there's like plastic sheeting.
Yeah. And candles. Because there's the one like seems to have like illumination upstairs. So he like essentially like breaks into the back of it. He goes upstairs and there's candles everywhere. And he looks around and then Jennifer like kind of appears behind him.
Like shit.
Yeah, she looks bad.
Like shit as Megan Fox. Looks like.
Yeah, but worse than she looked at school. Like she's looking rough. And Khan's just like, hey, like, but he's a little nervous. Like, I guess because of where they are, it looks weird. And
his body language is really like apprehensive.
Yeah, he's very closed off and closed into himself.
And he's like he's, oh, I thought you were inviting me over to like your house. And she was like, it's our yeah. house. She like advances on him and she's just kind of like, you know, don't you want to play mommy and daddy? And you're like,
yeah. You're like, you are 17 years old.
I mean, Megan Fox is like 30, but you're yeah. just like, what happens when you play mommy and daddy? I'm sure it's not great. Maybe it will be great. But like,
and he suddenly gets startled by like a rat or something.
Yeah. She's just like.
Because the animals are converging again, I guess.
She's just like, you know?
Yeah.
And you get the heavy impression that he showed up to like romance. And yeah, she shows up like, we're gonna fuck. And he's like, whoa, fully not prepared. Like,
yeah,
I'm not here.
He's like, I thought we're gonna watch that movie about the mermaid. Like,
I was gonna read you some poetry. But then she murders him.
Yeah, she straight up murders him. She
pounces upon him. And at the same time, it's intercut with like the most awkward sex scene yeah. ever put to film.
It's literally Needy laying back on the bed, looking uncomfortable. Chip crawling atop her.
And then be like, oh, this is a big like thing I got for this scene with me. He's like, my mom bought this candle. It's like, call whatever. Yeah. And I was like, oh my God, Barry Bliss. it's called Barry Bliss. And then he's like, do you prefer different? And she's like, no, it smells good. And then he's like, I picked up some more condoms at Costco. And you just sit there and like watch this like awkward Canadian man like try to fucking. It's just.
Yeah, he struggles with putting on a condom.
But you also get the impression that they like are very comfortable with one another.
Yeah.
Because she's like.
Like it is. She's very like gung ho, being like, haha, yeah, like she's down.
It's very sweet. Like it's actually incredibly yeah. sweet. He's an idiot. But she's just like, yeah. I'm completely comfortable with you. So like,
yeah,
you know,
like we have waited for this perfect moment. Now it's going to be perfect together kind of moment.
I would say in Days of Yore, Me, Myself, and I have definitely been like, no, I'm on birth control. We don't have to use a condom. Simply because I don't want you to have to lay there and like do the thing where you exist in the same room as someone while they put a condom on. Because it's like, where do I put my eyes? Like, I can't look right at you because this is goofy. I can't like look elsewhere because you'll feel insulted. Like, you know, but she's just like all excited and like he gets the condom on super fast, like way faster. Like world record holder yeah. for a 17-year-old man putting a condom on his fucking dick, by the way.
Yeah.
I've been with people who are
grown-ups
older than that. I want to say that. And they sort of like they kind of like shield it like with their body. And I'm just like, good, because I don't want to look at you putting a condom on your dick, but that's the only part of this room that doesn't have eyeballs. If I just focus on you rolling this condom over your dick, then my vagina crawled back up inside my body. You know what I mean? But it's just like, you can't, there's nowhere to look. There's nothing to do. But she's just exuberant and bright and like the sun. Yeah. She's just so adorable and cute. And then he like crawls on top of her. He doesn't even climb on top of her. He like crawls on top of her.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh no. It's like, I'm 17 again as well.
It does really feel like that. Like, you feel awkward while you watch it happen. Like, it kind of like plugs you into that moment of being that age. And like, I think that like says that the scene is super accurate if it kind of does that to you, but it feels really awkward, especially intercut with what's going on with Jennifer literally eating Colin.
And this is the other thing, now that I've really thought about it as we've talked about it, I think that it was sort of like metaphorical for Needy is mad gay. Like, and I feel that it is kind of coded as like being gay is bad, because we, as people who are on like the queer dartboard, whatever it is today,
the spectrum,
we have definitely thought about person possessing the same genitals as ourselves during a sexual encounter with somebody who had different genitals than us. And awesome, 5 stars. But in this movie, it is further included that if you're a woman who thinks about another woman the first time you have sex, that woman is committing a horrific disemboweling crime against a man, and then you don't get to come. And I feel like even if Diablo Cody didn't mean it like that, like, it's very like in there, like, it's very programmed into the.
And not only did she not get to come, it kind of made their whole like sexual like encounter like mortifying. Because it ends with her screaming her head off and leaving.
It ends with this. She's crying and screaming. And this fucking penis-having human goes, oh my God, are you okay? Did I hurt you? And then he like smirks and he goes, am I too big?
Gag.
Yeah, I just literally did. You can leave that in. That my body went, But the way that he like smiles, he's like, am I too big? And you're like, yeah. No, Chip. Are you the
no
size
chip,
of,
and not everything is about
you. Are
you
the size of 3 babies' heads? Are you the size of the Tyrannosaurus sex fucking bad dragon dildo, which I saw by the way the other day? Like, I saw like on like some page that I follow on Facebook, and I was like, no! And I Googled it and I was like, oh no. I guess you could fit that in there too. Good for you, Leslie. Like, whatever. I personally wouldn't do that. But like, it's a thing you could do. Really, Chip? Are you too big? Like, the way that he says it, I'm like, man, I have had sex with that guy at least 4 times. Is it me? Am I too big? Is that why you've dissociated and just been laying there this whole time? Uh-huh. I've just been tolerating the pain of your enormous penis inside of me. I was unable to experience any pleasure or presence within the sexual interaction. And that's why it's all a compliment about you and your penis. Are you done yet?
What I do like about this scene is that the implication is that Needy and Jennifer are such best friends that they have a like psychic link together, in that Needy like can feel these intense feelings that Jennifer is feeling. Like, she has this happen here where she's thinking of her. And then there's a moment later at the dance where she kind of realizes that something's going on with Chip. And she, like, just, like, goes. Like, there's, like, a intrinsic bond between them that got stronger when she became what we later find out is a succubus.
I agree. I totally agree. But because that is very problematic movie making, and I refuse to believe that this is, like, they're psychically linked for 1 second during this random thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it is weird.
It's just bad writing. Like, to me, yeah. I sort of saw it visually as like them both thinking of each other during like a pleasurable moment.
Uh-huh.
So it's like, I thought that it was more Needy being like, I can't dissociate Jennifer. Again, this is me looking at it from, they're definitely gay. They're definitely gay.
Yeah. We find out later that they're definitely gay.
But, like, they can't dissociate, like, these moments of intense pleasure from one another. So, like,
yeah,
Needy sort of within her own mind and her own self, like, realizes, like, Jennifer's probably doing something awful to her friend Colin. And at the same time, like, Jennifer's like, I'm experiencing, like, pleasure. I'm feeling myself. I'm feeling good. I can't not think about Needy when I'm doing this. Which, like, again, please never, ever, ever code queer people as, like, this.
Yeah, it is very problematic.
But always code best friends / soulmates as this, because that's how it is.
Yeah.
Like, if you and I are in this situation, doesn't matter which one of us it is, the other one, I would immediately be like, Stephanie's eating somebody. And whoever I was having sex with would be like, what? And I'd be like, get off me. Like, I have things to do.
I have things to do. I have to go clean up a body. So Needy gets in the car. She just leaves and is driving down the road. She sees,
like, blood dripping out of the ceiling, like, covers her mouth. And she's like, I got to get out of here. And Chip's like, is it something I did? Yes.
Is it because of my huge penis?
It was something you did. And Portly.
So she's driving and suddenly, like, she turns a corner and Jennifer is standing in the middle of the road looking like crazy.
Yeah. Looking like she's in Dawn of the Dead.
And Needy cuts the wheel, nearly crashes the car, and then, like, books it. She doesn't stick around to, like, see what's going on. She just, like, goes.
I thought she went upstairs to see what had happened to the house.
No, she didn't see, I don't think. I think she just drove toward the house and saw Jennifer.
They just show, like, his body getting eaten by rats.
You're like, Diablo Cody really liked to show animals consuming what Jennifer did not.
Because it's easy.
Yeah. Or they're like, oh, that's freaky.
We'll put some spaghetti in, like, a cast of a body and let the rats eat the spaghetti. Isn't that gross? And everybody's like, nobody cares. Like, whatever. She goes home and Jennifer just shows up in her underwear, mini tee.
She's wearing Needy's shirt. She's wearing her shirt and, like, her own, like, undies. And she's like, we're going to have a sleepover.
Like, we can play boyfriend, girlfriend, like, when we were kids or whatever. She's like, I'll let you be the girlfriend this time or something like that.
Yeah.
And then, inexplicably, but much appreciated movie, they just start making out.
They make out.
But, like, it's choice, dude. And this is me speaking from a male perspective. Like, I am using the male gaze right now.
And it's not like Jennifer kisses her and Needy's like, what the fuck? Like, she, like, gets on the bed, like, on top of Jennifer and is, like, making out.
It's good. Oh, my nipples just got hurt. No, it's good. Like, it's a very sensual, like, female friendly. Like, you can tell, like, that it's not, like, two ladies are just making out. Like, it's inexplicable, but if you, like, kind of think about it for a little bit, there's been sexual tension between the two of them for the entire movie.
Yeah.
And it to me, it's a little male-gazy, but at the same time, it's not, you know, where the fuck did this come from? Like, at this point, you're like, well, this is, like, I've been waiting for this for, like, 5 episodes or whatever. Like, when you read, like, a boy love manga and you're like, when are they going to fuck? When are they going to jerk each other off? And you're like, finally. And they just make
it. And it's very close up. Like, it is, you can see tongue.
And it's slow. And it's hot.
Yeah.
And it's comfortable. Like, if there's no, like, awkwardness. Like, they just very much seem to, like, have wanted to do this entire movie. Like, which is why, you know.
And even when they pull apart, Nettie is like, what the fuck? It's not like
she just is like, what the fuck is happening? Like, is this finally happening? It's kind of the subtext of it.
Yeah, yeah. It's not like, it's like everything is weird right now.
Are we,
like,
really
what
doing
is going
this?
On with you? And this is when we get a whole bunch of exposition, which I feel is I don't know if it's good storytelling or bad storytelling, but it's essentially,
this is how I know it's bad, because this scene specifically is reminding me of 4 scenes that we skipped over, but I'm not going back to them, Diablo Cody.
No, we're not.
Fuck.
So no. Jennifer essentially just tells the story of what happened after she got in the van with the band. Essentially, I'm gonna make it short and sweet to the point, because they're all so annoying. Essentially, they go out into Devil's Kettle, which is essentially a waterfall that goes, like, down into, like, a
cat, you throw shit down there and it doesn't come back. It's a whirlpool. Yeah. You throw shit down there.
Yeah. It's like a waterfall to a whirlpool. Who knows where the stuff goes? Scientists have thrown stuff down there. Wow.
But before they get there, they're in the van. And yeah. the band is all talking amongst themselves. And it's like, man, she doesn't seem like she's a virgin. Like, blah, blah, blah. I don't know if I can do this. And like, Adam Brody's character is just like, do you want to be playing these shitty gigs the rest of your lives? Do you want to be like that guy from Maroon 5? Which, by the way, podcast, I don't want to consider many things about my life to be canonical character traits, like in Dungeons and Dragons. But there is one consistent theme.
Oh, no.
And it is, I hate Adam Levine.
And Adam Levine does seem to follow us around in a way. Mm-hmm. He always is just
there. Baby, I'm praying on you tonight.
He's on the radio.
Songs About Jane was an amazing album, but every time a Maroon 5 song comes on when I'm at work, and it does happen so much, I wish I could not have experienced this. I wish I could have lived like, but every time I'm like, fucking Adam Levine, like I hate him. This is like a thing. This is a serious thing.
Yeah.
I just thought it was hilarious. They're like, do you want to be like fucking touring MySpace gigs in Devil's fucking Waterfall? Or do you want to be like that guy from Maroon 5? And they're like, oh, Maroon 5. But are you sure she's a virgin? And Jennifer's like, she's like, yes, yes. She's like, I'm a virgin. I don't even know. She's like, she's like crying. She's like, I don't even know like how to do sex. So you should find somebody like who does, and you should let me go. And she's just like
she suddenly realizes that there's danger, like,
but it's
at this moment
soups too late, like way too late. Yeah. And then they haul her out of the van and she tries to run and they pull her back and they drag her to like this rock, like
and they like tie her like arms and legs, I think, so she can't get up.
She's like, I'll give you anything you want. Like, please don't rape me. Like, please don't kill me. Like, you know.
Yeah.
And I hate scenes like this. I really do in film.
Mm-hmm. And it's a strange moment in that in one part, Adam Brody is like, he's weirdly almost apologetic for a second. And then he's like, but we have to do this because we want to be big, like Adam Levine. And then he starts like reading from the spell book that is, I guess if they sacrifice a virgin to Satan, then they will be.
They get a wish granted, or, you know, the basic white man movie trope.
Yeah.
Where you always have to use virgin.
So essentially, he stabs her a lot.
Before this happens, it's like, well, we are gonna cut you and bleed you. Like, yeah. She's like, are you gonna rape me? He's like, no. Like, but we are gonna stab you, cut you, bleed you, mutilate you.
Yeah.
And then he goes to stab her and he's like, wait. And then they all start singing that song together. Jenny, I got your number 8675309. And they all start fucking stabbing her.
And she's sobbing.
They start stabbing her and she's like sobbing and screaming because they are fucking murdering her while singing. Yeah. It's a great send up of the genre and a great send up of people who are like that. Because I feel that a lot of men in that era definitely preyed upon like the virginal fan energy.
Yeah.
You know,
the singing made it feel extra cruel too. Like, I don't know if Diablo Cody was trying to play it off as, oh, we're making it a little more lighthearted, but instead it was making it like extra appalling. Yeah. That they were straight up murdering a woman in the woods.
Just based on contextual clues, I don't think Diablo Cody did it on purpose, but it made Diablo Cody seem more intelligent. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it gave it more content, but I think that it was just like, wouldn't it be funny if they did this? And it's like, no, like, it adds like all these layers to all these people who have been preyed upon. You know what I mean? Like, that's what it felt like. Like, they were just singing a song thinking they were making a tribute to you as they fucking mutilated your body, but it was mocking and it was mutilating your body. Like, it was just like, you were a sacrifice.
Yeah.
So she was like, I don't know. Haha.
So essentially she's like, but I wasn't dead or something. Like, I came back and I felt great or something like
that. No, she was like, I came back and I don't know how I survived, but she came through the woods and she saw Ahmed like on a street. And yeah. She was like,
and she asked him if anyone knew he was like, alive. No.
And she was like, okay. And then she fucking ate him. And then she was like, and I don't know how or why, but I knew that I had to get to you, or I felt drawn to you. And that's why I came back to your house. And
which I thought was a really sweet moment, honestly.
They're just the best of lesbian gay friends. It's the best.
Yeah.
I feel like if it were either one of us, I'd be like, I killed a man and now I'm here.
You're like, I'm here, I'm gonna eat your rotisserie
it's
chicken
me,
now.
It's me, Megan Fox. And I feel like the same for you. Like,
yeah.
And this is where it all kind of goes off the rails, because she's like, yeah. Immorality. And Jennifer is like, no, when I fed, like now, I'm invincible. And she like stabs herself in the hand with like a pen.
Yeah.
And then it just heals like right away. And she's like, isn't that fucking cool? And he's like, the moral implications of this. And I was like, this is going off the rails. Because I feel like if either one of us, you or I, were invincible,
I think we would be a lot more excited about it than.
But you.
I'd be like, can I stab you?
What is it?
Let's see what happens.
But you kill men. She's like, no, I eat boys. There's a difference. Like.
Yeah. You kill people. I kill boys. Like.
Who cares?